your blue book and let's do the old rugged cross. Page 9. In prayer for each one on our prayer request list this morning, remembering Sister Donna Faye, she continues her chemo. Sister Mary Jane, in the hospital, had a mild heart attack. Remember her daughter Diane. I asked that you remember Kayla this morning. She's got a migraine. Lynette has been fighting one for several days, so we asked you to remember her. Got a dear friend of ours named Brother Donald Thomas, and was with him last night in service and not doing well, but do remember him in your prayers if you would this morning. Continue to remember Serena in your prayers, and let's give God glory for Esther's outcome. No cancer there.
Right. I saw her yesterday. She's doing great.
Amen. Give God glory for that. And then remember Calvin Phillips in your prayers this morning. Remember Sister Jean in your prayers. She had one of her toes removed, and she said she's doing good. Gets her stitches out on the 26th, so do remember that. And then continue to remember her brother Pete. Any others this morning? K.
Remember your son-in-law Lonnie London. He's facing spleen surgery.
Remember that.
Got a brother-in-law Lonnie McRae. They didn't think he was going to live through yesterday. I didn't even know he was in the hospital. He had a mass on his colon that they can't get the bleeding to stop. They got him on a ventilator right now, trying to wean him from that. So I don't know how long he, whether he gets better or not get better, or what they can figure out what's wrong with him completely or not. I don't know.
Remember that. Continue to remember Grady Jr. and their family. Sister Twana.
I had to have another shot in my eye Friday, or whenever I go in. And they said the vision's getting worse in my left eye.
Remember that. Anybody else?
I have chemo tomorrow.
Continue to pray. Unspoken in this morning. Amen. Thank you for everybody being here. If you would stand this morning, our ushers come. Most gracious Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, dear God, for your love, for your mercy, and your grace. Ask thee, Lord, this morning to just let your will be done and your name glorified. Father, touch each heart and each soul that's here this morning, each family represented, precious God. Father, meet the needs according to your plan, your purpose, and your will for their lives. Father, help us to accept that. Lord, we just pray now, Father, that you would just have your way through the remaining of the service, dear God. Father, be with each one. Father, again, we pray, bless the offering, that it be used for thy glory, thine honor. And we ask you, Father, these things in Christ's holy name. And amen. I'm too near home. Feel comfortable enough and you want to shake somebody's hand, you can do that, and if you're not, then you can stay. seated, and we'll be mindful of that too. Come here.
Y'all just bear with me. I finally practiced this song this morning, learned it this morning, but the words are just so good, and me and Zach, I think last Sunday, listened to it about 7 times in a row. We just love it.
Sure, this morning the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is worthy of our praise. I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, we ask that you turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you're turning there, would you stand with us as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer and in the reading of the Word of God? I'll not have you to stand through all of the reading because I've got about 10 verses to read, so we'll pray first and then let you be seated and then get into that. Father, this morning I thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, dear God, that truly this morning we are never alone. And Lord, I praise you today because you are worthy. You alone are worthy. And we ask you, dear God, today to help us, Lord. Father, we pray for those unable to be with us. Pray for those, dear God, who have not a desire. Lord, for those that are lost. We pray, Father, this morning that your will would be done in our lives and the lives of those round about us. Precious God, we ask you that your will would be done this morning through thy word. Lord, let us preach nothing of ourselves, but all things from thee and of thee. And Lord, we just pray now, Father, your will be accomplished in our hearts. And we'll praise you and give you glory, Father, today in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand. I want you to think about this morning. Do we stand in or outside the gospel? And if we stand in it, then we will, by the grace of God, be different. But if we stand outside it, you can claim all day long and never a change be made. But then he goes on, he said, by which also ye are saved. This gospel saves you. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. And that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And at last of all was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Then catch this. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We oftentimes take the passage of this and we'll say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, meaning I am what I am, and what you see is what you get. The Apostle Paul, in saying this, was talking about the change that was made in his life because of the grace of God that he had received. He had received the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had received for this thing there that he'd done, that this preaching, the scriptures that he received, told him about the death of Christ, told him about the burial, and also the resurrection of Christ. It told him of the witness that he had seen of himself and others that had received Christ, and how that it was applied to him even though he was a persecutor of the church. He sought to destroy the very thing that saved his life. You think about that this morning. Paul understood the power of the scripture that he had received and believed, but then he also understood the power of the communication that God gave him. And you think about it, on the road to Damascus, as Paul was going persecuting the church, Jesus appears unto him and says, Saul, Saul, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? You and I today, if we look at that, would call that the conviction of our soul. We call that our conscience a lot of times. I call it the chastisement of the Spirit of God. I was thinking about this, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'll just say this morning and this, get it out there just in the open. I think that if you truly have been changed by the grace of God, that you'll be convicted by the Spirit of God and you cannot live the way you want to. You have to live a different way. And when I say that, in other words, you cannot live a way of the flesh, because the flesh is, the Bible says, contrary to the Spirit of God. And it is also the enemy of God, and it's at enmity with God. In other words, the flesh does not please God. And oftentimes we look at the Spirit, or we look at our lives, and we'll say, well, you know what? I am what I am. And that's not what Paul was saying. I've heard people express this and said, well, Paul said, I am what I am. And he's saying, what you see is what you get. But do you realize that what Paul was saying here was about how that he was transformed? He had been converted. His life was turned upside down in some manner. His mindset had changed. He was, what we say in Corinthians there, in verse chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he was the new creature in Christ Jesus. He was not the same old thing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Why? Look at it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why is this so different? Because of the grace of God that come into his life. Instead of being one born out of due season, he was one that we would say was born again. And being born again, he began to declare and preach the righteousness and the blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead to the salvation of the soul. He was one who no longer was persecuting those who believed in Christ. He became an advocate for Christ. His life was an example of the suffering of Christ. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to be all that God wanted him to be. He wanted to do all that God wanted him to do. And we know that Paul was beaten, in prison, shipwrecked. I mean, he was stoned, left for dead. He was despised. He was hated. I mean, if you could look at the picture of Christ, you would see the picture of Paul there. And Paul was just getting the things that Christ had done all the way up to the end in which he was crucified, killed, because of his stand for Christ. They say, and I said crucified, but they say that Paul, when he come out of prison, run to the chop block. Now just think about that for a second. Willing to die for the cause of Christ. Lose your head for the cause of Christ. Do you realize that Paul had said, I was caught betwixt two, having the desire to be with you, which is more needful, and yet having the desire to be with God, which was better for me. He was willing to die for his love for Christ, his cause, his stand in believing, declaring those who didn't know Jesus, telling them of his love. And so when he gets down to this, the Apostle Paul is not saying to them, well, it's God's grace that made me a little different, but not completely. It's God's grace that allows me to be here today, even though I'm not complete or I'm not willing to go all the way. Paul was saying that it was by the grace of God that absolutely, positively changed his life completely. And so that he was a new man, even so to this point, that Paul, who was once named Saul, was given the name of Paul by God. Talk about a changed man. We'll say, well, Brother Ernie, that was back then. That's the Bible. We had to. Let me tell you something. He said, if any man, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And look at the qualifications there. The old is passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We would ask it this way: are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Or are you the same old person, just got a different spin? Because I know a lot of folks who have a different spin, but they're the same old person. They have the same old habits, the same old places they go, the same old things they do. God is a part, but not a consuming. See, my Bible says God is a consuming fire. If you're going to have God, you've got to be consumed with God. And God will consume you. And that's how you get in. Remember, if a man be in Christ, God also said, I will be in them and they in me. I will walk with them and they with me. He said, God said, they shall be my sons. They shall be my daughters. You just think about this. This is a relationship that is not simplistic, but rather one that is intertwined. And we would say it's complex. You ever thought about how easy it is for some folks to lose faith? I mean, one day they got faith, the next day they've got nothing. One day they walk in, so to say, in grace, and the next day they out of favor all the way. They don't want grace. They don't desire grace. Matter of fact, they don't think they need grace. I want to tell you something. The day that I gave my life to the Lord, the day that I realized that I not only needed grace, but I needed grace every day. I needed grace all the time. I listen to preachers sometimes talk, and they'll say, you know what? Well, you know, I got saved, and this has happened, and God knows this, and then, you know. And I think, why in the world are you frustrating the grace of God, calling yourself a child of God, but you don't live for God? Matter of fact, it don't even bother you when you're not living for God. You know why I know my salvation is so real? Not because somebody told me, but because God chastises me. And the Bible tells me whom He loves, He does chasten and rebuke. And you know what? As a child of God, I take it. And I turn listening to the Father. Some people say, well, you don't have to go to that extreme. You don't have to do that much. And all the time, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to draw you back from God, or are they just trying not to be convicted because of your walk with God? Can I tell you the truth this morning, church? Your life living closer to Christ every day will bring to some conviction, will bring to some strength, and will show some, hey, you know what? I'm on the right path. You just stop and think about that today. So Paul's saying this, he's preaching to them that they're saved through the gospel. It's a transforming gospel. It's a gospel that moves their lives and makes them different. He was one who persecuted, but now he's one who's preaching deliverance. And it was by God's grace that his life was changed. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He's not saying what you see is what you get. He's saying what you see today came by the grace of God. That's his determination. If you go over to the book of Ephesians, and I've been using a lot of the same verses of Scripture lately, but I'll tell you the truth, church. We really got to get a hold of them. If they get a hold of us, they'll change us. If we get a hold of them, we'll proclaim them. Now just listen. In chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses in sin. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I had no life within me as far as eternal life goes. I was surviving instead of living. Where in times past, there's a word again, right? Past. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are past. All things are become new. The grace of God changes your past, and also your future. See, your past is forgotten when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The grace of God takes judgment away from your past, but allows you to live for God in the future. The grace is the thing that sustains us and keeps us. He said, going on, he said, you walked in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, you're not following the devil. Let's just be honest. They are, among whom also you had, we all had our conversations in past, times past, in the lust of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's what Paul just said. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's grace, I'm saved. I'm changed. He just told us again, for by grace are you saved. And He that raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Can I tell you something else this morning, church? It shouldn't have to be said, but you will never be changed completely until you allow the grace of God to change you completely. You've all heard the story. I've said it many times. I shared it with a gentleman the other day. There was a time in my life that I drank. And I can remember the night that God told me, this is not what I have in store for you in life. This is not my plans for you. And I can remember that very night I quit drinking. But I had the desire for it. I mean to tell you, it was something constantly in me. And I'd open up the refrigerator. I lived with my granddad and my sister, and I'd open the refrigerator. There was a beer there. There's a wine cooler there. There's a bottle of wine. I mean, it's all right there. It's there for the taking. It's there. I mean, I didn't have to ask nobody. There it was. But all that time, I never took it. But I had the desire for it. But then the day in May when I gave my life to the Lord in 1989, so from February of 87 to May of 89, a desire. But that day when God saved me, He changed me. Behold, old things passed away. All things became new. I wasn't perfect by no means. Couldn't walk on water then, can't walk on water now. But if God tells me to step out on the water and walk to Him, I'll do it. But I'm going to tell you something. That day, that craving left me. And I no longer wanted it. No longer desired it. Matter of fact, you could line up anything that I used to drink right in front of me, and I'll tell you what it would be good for. It'd be good for target practice or shotgun. Let's just see how much of it we can bust and spill out. I mean, this tell you this morning. But I was tempted to have it then, but no longer when I got saved. When God changed me, you say, Brother Ernie, you don't know have any more battles with sin. Oh, I have battles with sin every day. Every day. But I'm going to tell you something. Every day I go back to that saving grace of God. And I know that God's grace is there. Why? Because it changed me. I don't want to walk that old walk. I don't want to talk that old talk. I don't want to see the old things. I'm here to tell you, church, when God truly changes you, when you're truly saved, your desire is different, absolutely, totally, completely, and you battle against the flesh. You don't give in to the flesh. You have a desire that's different. In other words, I'll put it to you this way. When the saving grace of God comes into your life, you have a desire to read His Word. And when you don't, you're ashamed. You're ashamed. You have a desire to pray to God. And when you don't, you're ashamed. You say, Brother Ernie, well, you're just going to extreme. No, listen to me. I can put a bite of food in my mouth out of haste Because I'm hungry and because it's there. And if I put that food in my mouth and I remember once I'm chewed, you didn't pray, I'm ashamed. And I stop chewing and give God praise for my food. Oh, you're getting too ridiculous there. No, I'm not. I'll be honest with you. If you can eat like it don't mean nothing to you, you better think about it. The food I got come from the grace of God. I'm telling you, church, I woke up Monday morning and went to work by the grace of God. The strength that I've got, I think about it sometimes. We're like the, what's his name there, Jimmy Stewart on Shenandoah. Anybody ever watched that movie? He prays like this. He said, Lord, we planted this food. We cultivated this food. We harvest this food. If we hadn't cooked this food, we wouldn't have this food. But we give you praise. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was he praying to God? Or was he crediting himself, but just saying, we're going to say something to you anyways? Because that's what it sounds like to me. God, I did it all. But for some reason, I'm supposed to say thank you to you. I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells me in the book of John, without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if it was not for the grace of God and the love of God that He bestows upon us every day, whether we deserve it or not, we couldn't even lift our head off a pillow. Amen. And we don't even think about it. The only reason you got up this morning and came to church was because of God's grace in your life and my life to let us get here. I'm here to tell you something, church. We don't think enough about God. We think too much about ourselves. I mean, after all, I mean, pat me on the back for what I've done. But what about giving God glory for what He's done? What about praising God for who He is? I mean, after all, did you take a breath today? Did you even think about the breath you took today? It was the grace of God that allowed you to draw a breath today. When we leave here, we'll do what we want, we'll think what we want, we'll act what we want, and we won't even think about it again until we come back. You think about that this morning. You realize it's God's grace that even allowed you to step a foot in the church door? The Bible says to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You say, Brother Ernie, this ain't the Sabbath. Well, it's the Lord's Day. Close enough for me. He said, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ain't good enough and I ain't good enough, and I don't care how good we think we are. We are not good enough. We've got to have the grace of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're not walking in good works, what are you walking in? I mean, if it doesn't bother you, why not? I'm being honest with you, why not? Have you ever thought about it? When I was lost, and I just start off with simplicity things. When I was lost, I didn't care whether or not I went to church. Matter of fact, I resented being made go to church. I felt horrible in one aspect in saying this, that I showed up, but I didn't care to be there. But on the other side of it, I mean, just to be honest with you, it was better than a whooping. Because that's what I was going to get if I didn't go to church. My mom or my dad was going to whoop me. You say, Brother Ernie, what do you mean? I was going to go one way or the other. I could either go on my own free accord, let them think I'm ready to go, or I could be whooped. And I'm going to tell you something, my dad, my mom, bless their heart, my dad especially, he'd whoop you from the front door to the back door. In other words, from the front door of the house to the back door of the car. One way or another, it was time to go. You were going. Today, we show up, we do our part. We got other things to occupy our time. I'm going to be honest with you.
If you ate like you worshiped, would you starve to death? If you ate like you prayed, would you starve to death? If you ate like you read your Bible, would you starve to death? Well, Brother Ernie, I've got enough on me. I could live a few days. I'm going to tell you something. You eat once a week, you may not starve to death this month, but a few months down the road, you're going to die. Because once a week is not enough. It ain't going to happen. Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 2. You can turn over there with me this morning. Read a few more verses to you. I talked about the frustration of the grace of God. Well, here it is. Chapter 2, verse 17. It says, But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Romans chapter 6 said, should we live any longer therein? God forbid. You say, Brother Ernie, well, all people are sin. Nobody's perfect. And I'm going to tell you this morning, the next time somebody says nobody's perfect to me, I'm going to look them straight in the eye and I'm going to say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a liar. Nobody's perfect. Jesus Christ was and is still perfect. Well, that doesn't count. Yes, it does. The Bible says that he was tempted in all manners like unto us, but yet was without sin. He lived in a fleshly body. Did it not bleed? Did it not bruise? I mean, did he not even in John weep? Did not Christ sweat? He sure did. And sometimes in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated so bad it was as if it was great drops of blood, the Bible says, that literally blood vessels that bust and it bled out. Did he toil and work? Yes, he did. What do we know about Jesus? Well, the Bible says he was touchable just like you and I. He felt just like you and I. But the problem is that you and I, is we say nobody's perfect, but yet Jesus Christ was and is. And he's somebody in my opinion. Well, I can't be Christ. No, you can't. But when you call yourself a Christian, that means you're supposed to be like Christ. You're supposed to have that mindset and that desire. And now, by the way, it should bother you and me when we are not like Christ. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, now listen to that very carefully. Why would we want to allow the flesh that we fought so hard against, that was dragging us to hell? Why would we want to allow that to once again rear up? I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You know what Paul said here? He said, no man can live according to the law and live. We're not good enough, church. We're not good enough. We got to have the grace. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you want to say I am what I am by the grace of God, and you look at it, then you can say that right there. I'm living for Jesus Christ by the grace of God. I'm doing a different thing than I used to do. I'm talking different. I'm walking different. I'm acting different. I mean, I'm singing different. I'm looking different because of what Christ has done in me. Not what you see is what you get. And I don't care. Can I tell you something, church? I care. I care what you see in my life. I honest and truly do. He goes on in verse 21, says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if the righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. He ain't going to intertwine the two. He ain't going to call himself justified, nor is he going to call himself condemned, but rather he's going to trust in the grace of God, but he's not going to frustrate it. We frustrate it too much. In my last spot, if you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says not to trust in worldly things, not to trust in vain things, but rather trust in the grace of God. Allow it to live, run, and rule and reign in your life. Verse 14 says, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to the rule, to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon Israel, upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at that. Bear in my body. It's evident. It's evident that Christ is in me. Church, can I ask you this morning, is it evident that Christ is in you? Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We'll never in this lifetime make this flesh perfect. But by God's grace, every day we ought to make this flesh less seen. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says to crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust thereof. In other words, it should be more important to you and to I what God wants out of us and wants in our lives than what we want. It should be more desirous for us to please God and serve God and follow God and be an example of God every day of our lives than anything else. And I will say this morning. What you set your heart the hardest to is what you'll get. It's what will be accomplished. It's also what will be seen in your life. Is the evidence of Christ what people see? Or is it just the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the mindset of the flesh? Because I'm here to tell you, church, this morning, we all need the grace of God more bountifully in our lives. And the more we allow the grace of God in us to shine forth, the more the world will see Jesus. Would you stand this morning? Father, today we thank you, Lord, and we love you. God, again this morning, I stand here not as one who professes to be perfect and be as close as I am. I'm not God. God, I want to be. I want to be closer to you than I am. I want to be stronger in you than I am. I do not want to frustrate the grace that's been bestowed upon me. I don't want the old man to be coming back. Father, rather, I want today, Father, the new man to grow and to be strengthened. Father, I want it to be an evident changing pattern in my life. Father, that others can see you clearly, completely, and totally. Father, that the evidence of salvation is on the forefront, not something I have to dig up. Father, today I pray, Lord, help us each and every one to be what we need to be for you in this world. Time is short. Time is short. Oh, dear God, today help us to make those changes by allowing you
to do the changing. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen.